What are the economic effects on supply chains? Inflation impacts costs and availability. Shift from JIT to just in case. Nearshoring and China plus one strategy. Global disruptions affect supply. Inflation impacts cost and availability. Yes, definitely. How does it impact cost and availability? One is in case if there are certain new duties or new penalties or whatever taxes to be borne on the raw materials or on mining or on the source that you are getting raw materials from, it can impact cost. How does inflation impact cost? Let's say tomorrow the price of diesel goes up in India, it is going to affect your transport costs and definitely availability. Shift from JIT to just in case, where every manufacturer dreams of having JIT supplies that as a first step, but is very much constrained due to the fact that the entire other balance infrastructure is working on a just-in-case basis. Now, what do I mean by what is meant by JIT and to just-in-case? JIT is where you have a fixed schedule, where a supplier is not really communicated as to when he should deliver because he knows his schedule and his quantity to be delivered directly online. That means he delivers just in time. Just-in-case is what happens to most of us when we are trying to reach a destination in time and we reach there just in case nothing goes wrong, otherwise we are always late. Nearshoring and China plus one strategy. COVID taught us all a very important lesson, and that was that you cannot have suppliers who are overseas. Wouldn't this be an aspect which is just opposite of what we are trying to understand today of global supply chains? Well, it is not. What we are talking about nearshoring, or what the world has moved, or all manufacturing companies have moved towards, is try and get your sources as near to your factory as possible. What is China plus one strategy? With China and the kind of progress that country is making, as well as the fact that there has been a lot of opposition in terms of other countries, especially Europe and USA, against China, all manufacturing brands today are looking at, while they all have sources in China, they're also looking at plus one strategy. That means some other country which is stable, which is ethical, and which is sustainable to keep supplying them. That is the China plus one strategy. Global disruptions affect supply. Recently, about a year back, we saw that there was a ship that was stuck in the Suez Canal. Well, that did affect supply of a lot of materials that are coming or going to Europe or coming from Europe, because the Suez Canal is the gateway to Europe as well as the gateway to Asia from Europe. Factors causing supply shortages: demand surges and labor shortages, trade barriers and tariffs, currency fluctuations, natural disasters and conflicts. So we all understood supply shortages. We all experienced this in COVID. But let's understand how it does continue to affect the supply chain, irrespective of whether there is COVID or no. Demand surges and labor shortages. This is a common phenomenon that happens all across the world. Demand surges, yes, demand goes up, and at the same time, you could have labor shortages, or you could have labor shortages at another time also. But let us realize that if there is a demand increase, and if your supplier is not able to cope up with that, your supply is going to be affected. Now, what could be the reason for him not meeting that increased requirement? Could be labor shortages, could be raw material shortages, could be inflation, could be anything else. Trade barriers and tariffs. India is just trying to recover from a huge 50% tariff on Indian goods being exported to USA. Well, that is exactly what tariffs are. They are trade barriers that are put in by a country to ensure that they protect the local industry. That was the actual thinking, but Today, it has taken a different meaning. Currency fluctuations. Of late, we have been seeing the dollar rising against the Indian rupee. Well, that is currency fluctuations. So if you ordered something, or if you were selling something for $10 to the US, you would get more money today. But if it's the other way around, if you are trying to source raw material at $10, it is going to cost you much more today. Natural disasters and conflicts. This is something that is beyond the control of any of us, especially when nature decides to strike back. And conflicts, these are local conflicts or political conflicts that may affect supply chains and thus cause supply shortages. How do you mitigate these economic impacts? Stress testing supply chains, supply risk assessments, backup sourcing strategies, flexibility in inventory and production. Stress testing supply chains, that means how do you go about this? You try and while you have supplies available with you, you try and create a stress situation where you try and expedite a supply from your source to your factory. Though this can happen for an inward, or you can do that even in the outward supply chain. That is, you create a pseudo order and try and deliver it at the shortest possible time to your distributor or retailer, just to test whether your supply chain can deliver or no, or you would like to make some improvements in the entire process. Supplier risk assessments. You need to understand today, most of these manufacturing, big brand manufacturers do not just go and source material from a source that is available in a country. They would go and try to understand the supplier's business, his risks, and understand how the company can safeguard themselves with respect to the supplier's risks so that their supplies are not affected. Backup sourcing strategies. While all of us would prefer to have a single source, let us understand that there is a risk that you run with a single source. Now, if you look at whatever the huge or the big brands manufacture, for example, Toyota has single sources for about 35-40% of their supplies. How can it still be the biggest manufacturer of automobiles at the same time have single source for nearly 35-40% of their supplies? The reason is disciplined working. And those, while they are single source, let us understand, it is not left for the supplier to just deliver material. There is complete and very close coordination and a hugely, huge disciplined working between the two companies. So it is practically, you can say, it is Toyota has 35% suppliers or 35% of their own people who are engaged with suppliers trying to source material. And that is how you would back up sourcing strategies. Flexibility in inventory and production. Well, all these risks can be managed to a certain extent with holding inventory as your safety stock or your stock for an emergency. But then how much can you store? So you have got to realize where your source is, how you can cover it with inventory, or how can you cover with other backup sourcing strategies to ensure that it doesn't impact your production. Global and international supply chains, cross-border sourcing and distribution, multi-step and multi-partner networks, cost savings and sourcing flexibility, high dependency on coordination. Cross-border sourcing and distribution, definitely. If you are sourcing something internationally, you have got multiple borders to cross over and get material back into the country. Now, extend this further by saying that while you are sourcing raw material, you are also getting part of it machined or part of it processed in that same country, because you realize that then after that first stage or first two stages of processing, it is much easier and faster and much more simpler to transport raw material to the factory. The other process could be that you get a finished product made in an outside country. So that means you have outsourced the manufacturing to a global supplier, and now you have entrusted another person, that is a distributor in that country, to hold that material and start distribution to all the countries and customers in and around the region. Definitely a major chunk of it, or a major portion, comes to India where you are importing. So that would be cross-border sourcing and distribution. Multi-step and multi-partner networks. As I mentioned, if you are going to source raw material, that means you have one partner there, and then you have another partner who is going to manufacture or process part of your product or the full product in the same country. You have another partner there. And then you have a distributor who has to do the distribution, storage and distribution of the product. So you have a third partner there. And now you are importing that material into India. You have a shipping partner there who is going to bring it all the way from that country to India. So you would have definitely have multi-steps and multiple partners in the network. Cost savings and sourcing flexibility. But this is something that matured companies would get into only after they have practically scanned the entire world, understood where manufacturing and sourcing is possible, and then look at how you can build in that flexibility into your product sourcing or your material sourcing. High dependency on coordination. Nothing can happen without coordination. And the basic part of coordination is communication. So let us realize, while you need to coordinate, you also have to understand that if you are going in for global sourcing, like for example, if you need to source material from China where it is cheap, as well as they can process it to maybe two stages or three stages, the biggest problem could be communication. The language of communication, which would depend on you learning Chinese, Mandarin, or whatever is the language that your supplier talks about, and he needs to understand you as well as your business. At the same time, it is not only the communication that matters, it also you got to also understand the kind of business that he is in. Challenges in global supply chains, geopolitical risks, long lead times, compliance and quality standards, and demand volatility. Geopolitical risks, we all understand geopolitics that is happening. What do you actually understand by geopolitics is political happenings which are restricted to a country, but which could likely affect you or your supply chain. Long lead times, well, if today, tomorrow, the Suez Canal gets stuck with another ship, you have a much longer lead time. Now you have got two options. One is wait, or your ship starts circumventing the Cape of Good Hope right at the end or tip of South Africa, and then bring in material into India. Compliance and quality standards. Quality standards is where you need your supplier to adhere to, and compliance is complying to all the requirements of the exporting country as well as the importing one. Demand volatility. Now, when you are trying to manage these long lead times, geopolitical risks, and compliance, try and imagine what could be a situation where your demand has suddenly jumped 2x or 3x. Well, that is demand volatility. What is the role of technology in supply chains, or how does technology help supply chains? With today's technology of IoT and machine learning, as well as AI, you can have real-time tracking and communication. Practically every truck on the roads of India has a GPS, and you can track where that truck is. Automation and data analytics. You can automate a lot of processes in your factory, in the manufacturing, as well as receiving and dispatches. Data analytics is where you start looking at past data and come up with better forecasts, so that you do not have or you are to a large extent able to cover the demand volatility or the demand risk that could arise. Enhanced transparency. When your supplier is aware or sees how much production you are doing or how much of his product are you consuming, you give him a better way of planning his activities and ensuring that he delivers on time. Predictive risk management. This is something that is difficult to really predict, but then yes, you can look at risks when you are able to keep track of what is happening across the world, what is happening in different parts of the region. And just a few days back, there was a bunch that was called in India. Now, would that affect your transport? Would it affect your supplier? It will all depend on where he is located, not only in the country or overseas, but does that political party or that political activity affect him and his region in the area? Key supply chain technologies, IoT and 5G connectivity, blockchain for traceability, AI and machine learning, automation and robotics. IoT is Internet of Things and 5G connectivity. Now, what does Internet of Things actually do? It is nothing else but trying to use sensors on every package or every box or carton that is being transported. Now, that gives you clear indication of what is contained in that product, in that box or carton, as well as where it is. And how do you get this information? Through 5G connectivity. So 5G connectivity is where the speed of connectivity and the speed of data transfer is much higher as compared to what it is at 3G or 4G today. Blockchain for traceability. A lot of these big projects and big transactions that are happening for overseas suppliers is through blockchains. The reason is that blockchain not only gives you traceability, but it is transparent and extremely secure because of the strict protocols that you need to follow. AI and machine learning. Machine learning is nothing but automating machines to keep reading how processes are done, how they can be improved, and continuously keep updating themselves. And that is where AI comes in and supports machine learning, because AI can have access to practically everything that is happening across the world, as well as use that data to improve the machine learning and the automation. Automation and robotics. We have all seen robots around in different YouTube videos, in different advertisements, a lot many other areas. But let us understand, robotics is not restricted to a human, to a machine or an equipment that looks like a human or talks or walks like a human. Robotics can be anything that could just mean a simple arm that just moves material from one conveyor to another when there is a disconnect between the two conveyors. Automation, on the other hand, is where you have a machining center which you put in the raw material and get a finished goods processed through four different stages and as an output. That would be automation. Digital supply chain twin and PLM. Simulation and optimization models, risk forecasting and planning, lifecycle data integration, decision support systems. Digital supply chain twin, simulation and optimization models is where you simulate your supply chain and try and see how you are able to optimize that supply chain to ensure that you are not only efficient, but you are also cost effective. Risk forecasting and planning. If it is possible, like you are forecasting the demand, you would also use those same reasons from the same AI as to what are the reasons for the forecast and if there are any risks that are likely to come up in the near future. Life cycle data integration. Every product that is manufactured goes through a life cycle, and so does the process of manufacturing. Now, this is where, if you have got data through AI, through your past sales, you have life cycle data on the product, you are definitely aware of what you need to do and when to initiate the next action for trying to start or introduce a new product or make some changes in the existing one. Decision support systems. A lot of these decisions that management today is required to take, whether you want to have a second source, whether you need a second transporter, whether you need to have a second route of material to be transported, requires data. And this data is all available through the digital media. Let's summarize. Supply chains evolved from local to global. Critical for competitiveness and resilience, technology is a major enabler, and strategic supply chain management drives long-term success. Supply chains evolved from local to global. Definitely, we understood how business was earlier restricted for local sales in a village to today, the world becoming a village. Critical for competitiveness and resilience. Well, if you are not competitive, there is no way you are going to survive in business. So competitiveness and resilience go hand in hand, and which means that you have to remain competitive. You have got to remain on top of your business at all times, and that is resilience. Technology is a major enabler. Well, you have a lot many things that you can do on your mobile. That is what technology has reached today. And with AI coming in, you can definitely use technology to your advantage. Strategic supply chain management drives long-term success. Now, sourcing or trying to decide sources or routes to follow is not a one-day phenomenon. It requires a lot of strategic planning. You got to understand where would it be beneficial to buy material, where would it be beneficial for the company and the business to actually process it and then move it from point A to point B. Thank you.